Hey there, King of Kings family. Welcome into another episode of Beyond Sunday Sermons, our opportunity to peel back the layers of another fantastic King of Kings Sunday sermon and examine some other truths that God has for us. I'm Dan Hoppen, the Director of Connect Groups here at King of Kings. And joining me, as always, is Caleb Hack, our Director of Kids Ministry. Now, before we get into the content, Caleb, I got a question for you. What was the most fun thing you did this weekend?
Well, this weekend my daughter was sick, so we kind of just stayed
home
with her.
So nothing was fun.
We watched a lot of TV. That was fun. Yeah, we watched some TV, and that was about it.
What are you watching right now? Are you binging something?
We've been watching some Law and Order lately. We watched some movies, just whatever's popular on Netflix. Basically it. So yeah.
Controversial opinion. Speaking of movies. Sarah and I watched You've Got Mail this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Overrated movie.
Overrated.
I'm just going to throw it out there.
I think my wife would disagree.
Characters. She loves that. Not very likable. And most people are probably shutting this podcast off now because like, they disagree with me.
Where's the... Yeah. Yeah, no, no. No, my wife likes that movie, but I don't know.
It's solid. I love Tom Hanks. I love Meg Ryan. Like... I just don't think their characters are very likable in that movie, especially Tom Hanks. Mm. But anyway, that has nothing to do with this Sunday sermon or anything.
Well, so, yeah, no. Where's the message? What's the message about?
Let's grab the wheel and yank it back to the right so we can get back on course here. Pastor Greg's message this last weekend focused on 1 Thessalonians 4:13-18. And... it was heavily focused on death and grief. So just for some context, remember, Paul is writing this letter to the young church in Thessalonica, and they're all excited because Paul told them that Jesus was coming back soon. But now, like, they didn't know what soon meant. And now some of their friends and family are dying, and they're wondering, what's happening to these people? Like, are they okay? And that is kind of what Paul addresses in this portion of his letter to the Thessalonian church. So let's lead off with the first question, Caleb. What's going to last in this message beyond Sunday for you?
Yeah, I think this can be a heavier message. And out of, you know, this, again, pretty positive book in Thessalonians, like this is one of the topics that's a little bit harder to deal with sometimes. I haven't experienced a lot of grief. I've lost some people, but nobody like that I was super, super close with. I think what sticks with me though is just thinking about how short our lives are, and especially compared with all eternity, you know, and what it means for us to know that we continue on after death, and what it means for us as Christians when the world has very different views from us. So it sticks with me just, hey, like life is short. There's an important message that we need to share.
So, I think I have this answer in my head, but I'd love to hear it from you. Like, how do you want to live that out? How does that make you think? What changes do I need to make in my life?
Yeah, it's about, to me, you know, being the best example I can be of Christ to the people in my life. I think family first. Family's probably my top priority. And then in work, my ministry here, like obviously I'm the children's director. And so I have influence and I make an impact, I think, I hope, on the children and family here at King of Kings. And so I want to be a good example to them. And then, you know, to my neighbors and people I see out in the streets and out and about and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. I think what stood out most for me was how Greg really highlighted that we should embrace grief. Mm. I think so often, you know, we think about grief as this thing that we don't want. And that's because grief can be painful. You know, when you're remembering someone that you've lost, that's not an easy thing to do. And oftentimes that's going to bring up, you know, either some hard memories or some great memories, both of which could be very emotional. But Greg made it very clear that the Bible doesn't call for us to run away from grief or to be, you know, strong enough that we don't grieve. In fact, in Matthew 5:4, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." So now grief might look different for everyone. You know, how I grieve something or a loss does look very different from how my wife does. But I think it's important to not just shove our feelings down, especially when it is feelings of loss, and to take that as an opportunity to really lean into God and say, I can't understand why this person that I love is no longer with me, but I trust that you're good in this, and I can't wait to be reunited with that person one day.
Absolutely. I think another thing that kind of stood out to me is just, this grief process, you lose somebody and then you're living the rest of your life in that process. Mm-hmm. Grief really lasts for the rest of your life on earth, but we have that here on earth. We have hope in eternal life. And once we reunite, once we're out of our earthly bodies and living with Jesus, that grief is gone. So it's not literally going to be with us forever because, we have that hope of eternal life. But it is something that once you experience grief on earth, it sticks with you. Whether you lost somebody yesterday or 20 years ago, you have to continue dealing with it. And sometimes it comes and goes in waves, right? And you might be feeling something one day and feeling something totally different, or you may, it may not even cross your mind at times, but it's always kind of back there in the back of your mind. And so this letter is important because it definitely provides a different idea and a different approach to grief. And sometimes Christians, I think Greg said it pretty well, we often hear, maybe we shouldn't grieve because we have hope. But that's absolutely not the case. We need to walk through that grieving process. We need to walk through it with the people in our life that are grieving.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important to emphasize what you said there, that, there's no timeline on grief necessarily. And I'm very fortunate. I'm much like you in which I don't have a ton of experience grieving. I have lost my grandpa and I lost my amazing Aunt Kelly. But when it comes to super close friends and family, I haven't lost anyone like that yet. My wife, Sarah, very much on the other side of things. About 7 years ago, her mom passed from cancer. It all happened very quickly, just within a matter of months. And she still grieves that very, very heavily. And it's exactly like you said. Sometimes she'll be totally fine. It could be the anniversary of her mom's passing and she'll be okay and she'll be comforted and, want to talk about warm memories that she has of her mom. And then sometimes I'll come home and Sarah will just be crying and she'll just be thinking of her mom. And there's no right or wrong. There's no, Sarah needs to be strong enough or have enough hope in God that she'll be reunited with her mom, that she doesn't grieve. No, but Sarah also strives to not wallow in that grief and just let it overcome her. Yes, it is great to grieve and to recognize the amazing person that her mom was and to be excited to be reunited again with her one day. And that is, I can't wait for that. That is going to be such a glorious, glorious day. But it's important to also, find the strength to be able to keep on, because we still have an important mission here on earth, even if, some of the people who are closest to us are now lucky enough to, have moved on to that next stage and be with Jesus.
Yeah. I think I liked what you said. It is a challenge sometimes to look at eternal life and the hope we have in Jesus and put it into a kind of a earthly idea of what that means. We've talked on the podcast before a little bit about there's the temporal realm, the spiritual realm. Our hope in Jesus, it's a spiritual in nature. It's about his kingdom that lasts forever. And we can't really relate to that very well on earthly terms. My brain can't wrap its head around heaven is forever. The kingdom of God is a place where we just exist forever with Jesus. And I think it's incredibly awesome, but it can also be very scary.
I was going to ask, does that thought of just Never end. Does that intimidate you at all?
Not me a lot. It does my wife. She doesn't like to think about heaven, she says. But I also think about that in terms of just how different it is from a worldly view of people who don't believe. Because yeah. I feel like it would be so much scarier to consider death and losing loved ones when you don't have any kind of hope, spiritual or physical, you know, earthly. And for people who don't know Jesus, like, how much scarier is death to them? You know, if they just think nothing happens or you only get this one life. I think, you know, there's an impact on our culture in this, kind of it being in a post-Christian, you know, America now. I think about how it's not really a popular phrase anymore, but YOLO used to be the popular phrase. You only live once. I don't think they say it anymore. No, but you only live once, right? That's not true in the spiritual sense that no, like we do. Okay. We do have like one life on earth, but our life means so much more than that because we're following Jesus and because we get to experience the fullness of life with him now and forever versus, okay, you only live once. You have to do everything you can before you die because death is the end of all things. Death is not the end of all things, right? Jesus defeated death, and that's the most important message that we want to share, and it's super countercultural. The other phrase I really dislike is live your best life now, mm-hmm. right? Or live your best life. That kind of phrase means so little when you consider that life has so much more meaning than just having fun or doing what you want to do. It's kind of selfish to me, honestly. And I don't know how this all relates necessarily to grieving other than to say that we're anyone walking through grief, you know, we have the opportunity to have hope, and that's different from culture.
It's I like that you brought that up because, I mean, the words hope and death or hope and grieving are not commonly used together.
Yeah.
I mean, those are like polar opposites in most occasions. But Paul makes such a clear distinction in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. He says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope." And I just love that idea that, yes, it really, really stinks to lose people that we love and people that we're close to, but we always have hope. We know that we will be reunited with those people again someday, and that's a promise. It's further down in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 to 17. Says, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever." I love those two words, "with them." We will be together with the people that we've lost. So yes, in the temporary, it's really hard. We are allowed to grieve. That's okay. But there's a time coming when we will be reunited. And all the pain and all the waiting that we have here on earth, it's just going to make that reunion all that much sweeter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think comparing death and hope is so important. And to take the two together, and I love Romans 6, verses 3 through 4, where it says, "Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." So our new life begins now. At your baptism, you have that hope already. Jesus is with you. His Spirit's in you. We've already experienced what it's like to have, you know, trouble on earth, to have heartache and loss and to be grieving, but to know that we therefore were buried with him through baptism into death in order that you can live in God's glory. I mean, it's just amazing to think about Jesus providing that for us. And that's what he came to do.
Yeah. It's weird. It's not like a foreign concept to me, but when Greg in his message, he said eternity begins at baptism. Mm. I think just having it put that succinctly, I was just like, wow, that's kind of crazy to think about. But yeah, it's absolutely 100% true.
Right. Right. You know, I also kind of want to think in other terms too, because we talk a lot about grieving loss of the loved one or death, but people can grieve all kinds of things. Oh, the sure. loss of a relationship or a friendship or the loss of a job, you know,
the loss of freedom.
Absolutely. There's a grieving process for anything that feels like a loss to you. And, you know, I think King of Kings does a really great job of walking alongside people through this. I think we're a very caring church, and I hope anybody who steps in through these doors or has a conversation with you or I in the hallway, you know, gets to see how we get to sit and walk through these things with you. We have the core for counseling, and it's great the transformation that can really take place in people walking through that grieving process and finding that hope.
And I want to give a shout out to Karen Lovejoy too.
Absolutely.
I don't know what her official role is here, but she's basically just like the caregiver of the church. She is always praying, always doing hospital visits or visits with people who are hurting. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen someone who loves other people as well as Karen does. She is amazing.
5 to 10 emails of prayer requests from her each day. It's awesome to see. Yeah.
All right. So let's wrap up with our second question here. How are you going to apply this message to your life moving forward?
For me, it's about sharing that hope, because I have it. I know what it is. Like, I don't think heaven's scary to me, like maybe some other people, but to share that hope of Easter, really, and the resurrection with somebody who's grieving, you know, my wife, her parents divorced. And so that was kind of a long grieving process. So it could just be with her, sitting with her through that, or it could be anybody who approaches me and says, hey, I've got this going on. Like, I think a great place for this is honestly in our Connect group, because we have people that go through hard things, friends of ours, I want to be able to sit with them and just, you know, be someone who can listen and provide hope.
Yeah. I mean, kind of a shameless plug for Connect groups, but not really, because they are that effective. Absolutely. Like, if you're not in a Connect group, please get in one, because these are not just groups of people who meet once a week to discuss the Bible. I mean, our group has become very close, or we do a lot of things together. And I mean, talking on this subject of grieving, we had a couple who recently had a miscarriage in our group. And obviously we don't grieve as heavily as they do. They feel that pain a lot more acutely than we do, but we're there to grieve with them and to pray with them and to support them and uplift them. Connect groups are an opportunity to find people that you can not only live life together, but you can live the parts of life that stink together and lift each other up. I think the number one thing that I'm just going to, again, maybe not necessarily the newest takeaway, but something that was just reinforced in my mind, is just finding that those pockets of how to support Sarah, because I struggle with that as a husband sometimes with someone who is grieving in a way that I haven't felt before. And there are times where I really try and uplift her and I say, you know, Sarah, it's going to be so awesome to get to see Sharon again someday. And, you know, we know, you know, Sharon no longer has pain, like, and all this. And sometimes that helps. And sometimes, and I tend to be a very positive person, sometimes I just need to let Sarah grieve. And maybe that's just, you know, she just needs 15, 20, 30 minutes or whatever to just be with her mom and her memories together. So I think that there's just that balance of both uplifting and encouraging, but also allowing for grief and saying, you know what? Grief is okay. Not a sign of weakness. This is something that's very healthy, and just encouraging her in that.
I love that. That's so awesome. And I'm glad that, you know, we're all on the same page here at King of Kings, where we want to sit with people through whatever they're going through. And King of Kings is all about the transformation that Jesus brings and the hope that he brings to us as well.
Amen. So yeah, if you are listening to this and you're grieving anything, or if you need prayer for anything, you can always reach out to anyone on staff. We genuinely love you, King King's family, and we want to be here for you in any way that we can. With that, we're going to sign off here. Let's keep living our faith lives beyond Sunday.